listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr.
Good evening
Hunter.
And welcome to the Spirit of Life Program for Wednesday, February 26th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm very glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you and so glad to see everybody in our live chat. We always like catching up with you. And we always appreciate the time that people take in their week to catch up with the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, we have a very interesting topic. What are Schumann resonances? And I did tell Dr. Vicki, I told you that I was going to throw you into the bus right at the start, so she has prepared a lengthy and detailed monologue for us about this very topic, so take it away.
Oh, you smarty. Look, I find the whole thing really fascinating, but to back up here, what is like the Schumann resonance? I mean, that's what, you know, or what are they? Well, they're, I'm going to quote here this paragraph from Wikipedia. The Schumann resonances are a set of spectral peaks in the extremely low frequency portion of the Earth's electromagnetic field. And that's, by the way, anywhere up to 50 kilometers, as I understand it, that they measure that energy of what those frequencies are. And it was first predicted, these things, by a Winfried Otto Schumann, mathematically, in 1952. So, and basically they, and again, I'm paraphrasing what I understand about this, but it's generated by whatever lightning discharges there are in that ionosphere, and so they can measure what it is. Now, the average frequency around the Earth, at least what they call the fundamental energy, is 7.83 hertz. Now, I want to back up, Michael, because even the human body has a resonance. And each of the organs is different. The brain is different, but it all balances out into, you know, a general frequency. And I'm going to get back to the medical part of this later because that to me is really fascinating. So I want to follow up here. Schumann resonances occur because the space between the surface of the Earth and the conductive ionosphere acts as a closed, although variable-sized, waveguide. And the limited dimensions of the Earth cause this waveguide to act as a resonant cavity for these EMFs, or these waves. But it's in an extremely low frequency band. I know Dr. Mike had written about that last week in the chat when we said we were going to talk about this. And But that cavity is naturally excited by like electrical currents, especially in lightning. So we can measure kind of what the Earth's energy is doing, or, you know, what's kind of going on. Now, the other, what I find most fascinating is like there's several research stations all around the world that they measure what these are. They have sensors up, and apparently these sensors are like magnetic coils and an electric dipole antenna. Now, I have no idea what that is. So
it's, no. You know, I'm listening here and I'm just thinking about it. And the greatest connection that I keep thinking back to is thinking about our world as almost it's a living thing, a breathing thing almost. I'm thinking about these electric, you know, the electromagnetic field spectrums, these different points of lightning, what you had just mentioned. It makes me think about, you know, the human body. You know, I've been in the ER, you know, making sure that chest pains weren't actually a heart attack, and the, you know, the electric diodes they put on, the resonances that you're talking about, it all kind of comes back to that. So that's kind of the angle that I'm looking at it so far. It's a fascinating topic.
Well, okay, let's leap into that, because I went to the National Library of Medicine, and because I wanted to kind of clarify some of this. And one of the write-ups, Michael, is they are now doing some studies on can the EMFs affect blood pressure, whether or not it can affect other, like depression, even for that matter. And I thought, as I read that, I thought, I'm really affected by altitude. It's called Papa Tylenol. And better in Advil, though. But if I'm going, because I live in mountains, where I am, it's fine. But if I go up in the mountains, like, yikes, I have to make sure I do that, because I get a headache. Even flying, automatically my blood pressure goes a little bonkers and getting a headache. But so they are doing studies on that. But if I go back here, it's geomagnetic storms have been found, and I'm reading here now from the National Library. Geomagnetic storms have been found to be accompanied by degradation and destruction of mitochondria, and the loss of circadian rhythmicity in the heart rate of rabbits.
That's accurate.
So that's kind of, it's kind of where it starts, and they've been looking at EMFs when it comes to affecting other physiology, psychology, behavior, studies of the blood system in rats especially, which I find really interesting. The transcranial applications range to patients even with Parkinson's disease. And they were found to increase alpha and beta activities as well as the resolution of theta activity in EEGs, which would improve gait, posture, reflexes, mood, and so on. So there's a lot of study going on in this when it comes to how electromagnetic frequencies, you know, affect us. Now, to go back a little bit, we have a lot of EMFs now. Whether it's through all the towers, you know, for cell towers and so on. And what I find with 5G, even the WHO says we can't withstand greater than a 6 gigahertz. So we're kind of already at almost saturation point. How much does that affect health? Well, absolutely, there's been studies done that it affects birth rates in cattle. And, you know, so the list is long there. But to go back to simply in this Schumann resonance, there's a couple of sites on Facebook that I follow, and you can absolutely look this up and Google it for however, you know, good Google is these days, we're not sure. But they have been measuring the EMFs, especially when there's big events on the Earth.
Yeah.
So even years ago with 9/11 that it just went off the charts. So you got to think of, you know, we've got this basic, reading.
Do you
within
mean
a frame?
Because of the, like 9/11, because of the chatter and things
no,
like that?
No, because of consciousness. Hmm. And this is another thing, another area is, and again, if you go into a metaphysical kind of look at it, for right. instance, when you're meditating
right.
and raising your vibration, it's good for things like memory, stress tolerance, emotions, grounding, and so on. But it raises your vibration. Mm-hmm. Now with shock, trauma, consciousness, to think of it this way, everybody's coming out to help, raising their consciousness, and
right.
doing things that well, affected the readings and the Schumann resonance.
And that's a good point. My first thought was, you know, while, you know, of course I remember exactly the moment that we realized 9/11 was happening. I actually happened to be home, not at school, and my father ran in, we turned the TV on, so I know it was definitely a moment of, it shocked people. It was a widely shared conscious experience. But I was thinking to myself when he said it, you know, it was a horrible thing, but there are many, many horrible things that happened. So I thought maybe you meant the impact on the life, you know. But, yeah, you're right. The consciousness definitely shifted. Now, I do find it very interesting. And, you know, Dr. Mike has also put in that some alternative health theories propose modern artificial electromagnetic pollution, which would be Wi-Fi, which is 5 gigahertz. 5G, which is actually a spectrum from 4 gigahertz to 100 gigahertz and goes everywhere in between. 2 electronic devices may disrupt our natural resonance with the Schumann frequencies, leading to increased stress, sleep disorders, fatigue, and brain fog. And I'm going to be the skeptic on this one because I find it very interesting, but personally, I am not ready to, and as he himself says, scientific proof for these claims is lacking. My instinct doesn't lead me that direction, although I can understand why other people's would, and I wouldn't want to discount that, but I think that when it comes to the electromagnetic spectrum, that it can be a very broad thing, but we don't really know, and it could absolutely be something that we're just beginning to play with. You know, it's this part of the breathing world that we live on, and we need to perhaps look at how we're interacting with it to make sure it's in a healthy way for it and us. But you know, it's just interesting.
Dr. Mike
stuff.
Also adds in here the idea that Schumann resonances could influence human biology stems from the fact that their fundamental frequency at less than 7.83 is close to certain human brave wave frequencies. This has led to the speculation about possible biological synchronization mm-hmm. or resonant effects. Now, if we think, and Dr. Mike, we should add you on for this, specializing in the ocean, particularly sharks, that was his profession yeah. for many years. For those who don't know that, who are listening. When you think about sounds, tones, things affecting fish, affecting whales, mm-hmm. you know, you got to think how that affects behavior, you know, that noise pollution. Well, this is something we can't hear, but perhaps something that other animals can hear, such as why notoriously coyotes are going in the city. They're more aggressive. They're not shy like they used to be. There's all kinds of behavioral shifts in the animal kingdom.
Right.
Which
well,
maybe they are hearing things that we're not.
Right. You know, somebody's blowing on a dog whistle very loudly and a bunch of them, you know, it might not be perceptible to humans, but it might be to animals. But one moment, I need a cough. Excuse me. But when I'm looking at the list that Dr. Mike had released, and I'm seeing a lot of correlation. Increased stress, sleep disorders, fatigue and brain fog. It also correlates with the fact that we are scrolling. We are on social media. We are consuming short little bits of things. So, you know, regardless of any, electromagnetic pollution, which I'm not there, but I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not here to discount it because I think it's definitely a possibility. It's not there yet, but all of those things have other explanations that just come from social media and using screens too much. The light, the very fact, if you have, like I do every single night, if you have the TV on, that's producing a lot of light. You're not sleeping in darkness, which is what we're used to. Animals, for example, coyotes, coming more and more into contact with cities and things. It also is part of human sprawl. Our cities and suburbs are getting bigger. We're going into their territory. There's much less wild than there used to be. And I think we're seeing a lot of bears and coyotes and wild dogs, which is a mix of wolf, coyote, and dog. I actually know the real term for it, but they're out there and they're becoming more bold because of that dog DNA. But just here to throw that out because I like to argue, and it's sweeps week.
I know you do. Damien has said in the chat, animals have experimentally been shown to respond to changes within the electromagnetic environment. One of the reasons they can sense natural disasters. That's very true. The other thing that I wanted to bring up with measuring these human resonances, they're getting pretty good at it where they can almost predict, let's say, earthquakes or volcanoes, where there's a shift in the ionosphere.
Yeah.
Whether very that's by vibration or intensity, it's in that area. They'd say, oh, something's going on there, and they can look for it.
And very much to your points, both yours and Damien's and others, you had mentioned marine life. Sharks, I think, use the electromagnetic field a lot. Birds for navigation use it a lot. They pick up on things that humans don't. So even though I'm not there in one spot, which I'm not discounting, just not there, absolutely, it impacts a lot of things we can measure. And we know about those, which lends itself to your idea. It really does.
Well, Dr. Mike, I love it that you're writing in the chat. Thank you for this. He says, since human resonances overlap with theta alpha brainwaves, some researchers speculate that exposure to these frequencies could enhance relaxation, stress reduction, focus in meditation, creativity and problem solving, neural feedback, and binaural beat technology sometimes attempt to mimic human resonance frequencies to induce relaxation states. Absolutely. And that's another thing about another element to it, about raising your own vibration through meditation, internal awakenings, realizations, making peace with yourself kind of thing. And if you think about how you can change your own vibration, because that's really the point of that, is, you can use modalities like neural feedback, but if you can learn to do it yourself, be in that state of altering your frequency. I've had to practice this a lot, by the way, in my life. It's like going to that place. It's not always an easy task in this kind of crazy world, but it's really, to me, that's really fascinating how we can adjust that, but we can actually read it. Yeah, I think they've been doing this for a long time, right? It's in 1952. Then it was, again, redone by another couple of guys in 1960, and then the whole science of it. And now that there are these places, these places all over the earth that is reading them and trying to extract information, it's fascinating. So Dr. Mike Zett added, despite scientific uncertainties, human resonances have inspired several applications of wellness technology and medicine. And he's got a colon there, so I'm expecting he's writing more. I love that. We should have just had Dr. Mike on.
We should have. We can try, cold call on him now, but that's not fair. But no, I like those ideas too, and especially I like the point about connecting with theta and alpha brainwaves to induce therapies, which kind of brings that dichotomy, that duality of things, right? Pollution could mess things up, but certain resonances can benefit us and aid in that kind of meditation and those ohms and things like that. You know, one thing I always try to remind myself when thinking about things is how big and massive existence is. Nothing is simple. There's never any one reason for anything. And there's just a lot of complexity, and I love that.
Yeah.
Love it so much.
You know, there's a lot of information online about listening to music, for instance, whether it's at a 432 hertz or 528 hertz. And you can go on YouTube and actually get a lot of music that claims to, and I'm careful about the words I use, improve focus. And matter of fact, I came across something here. 528 hertz in music reduces total concentration of reactive oxidative species in brain tissue, which, wow. So prolonged exposure to this sound wave shows reduction of anxiety. And, I mean, so, again, we're into sound, which is an energy of its in and of itself. We know the sound does amazing things, you know. Water, everything. So if you think about how, you know, we're very often listening to like hums of traffic or hums of other things that distract our expanded kind of awareness, if you will, and affects our energy. So, I mean, the higher you go in hertz, the more apparently it, you know, it can affect the organs and all kinds of stuff. I don't know how high you want to go.
True. But. But just like there's a lot of diversity in humanity and a lot of different, the people need different things, right? People, some things are good for some folks and bad for others, right? I think perhaps maybe what you're raised in or maybe what you get used to, or I don't know what it is. But I, you know, first off, I've been, you know, like, hey, you know, it's been in the house and the aquarium pump is going and the fans are on, even when all everything else is shut off. So you hear that steady hum of electronics and things in the background. And then during a, you know, a storm, the hurricane might shut the power off and then it's just really dead quiet. It's a whole different vibe, a whole different energy. And I think that there is something to be said about that lack of electronic and noise and hums. And then I've known people that find the background of a city, you know, relaxing. And I'll say that for me, and I don't like living in the big city necessarily, I never have, but I visited plenty, and I always enjoy the vibe. Sometimes I've joked about being like this emotional vampire, because I love going to big movies on opening night. I love being in a crowd. I just soak up that crowd energy, and when I'm in a city, I feel like there's just this whole dynamic electric energy in the air. Everything's humming with, you know, creativity and, you know, and this positive energy, which I think can be both good and bad, perhaps.
Something before I forget, I do want to mention that the intensity of these resonances that are measured do change in seasons, in the solar cycles, winter, summer, and they will change. And again, the belief is that, you know, maybe that's an earth thing. It has to do with geology. But it's also what some believe is the connection between human consciousness and the earth and the cosmos. So, you know, if you like winter, I guess you'd be good. You like summer, that's better. And so that energy is measured a little you know, differently. So they have to be aware of that too. So, I mean, when you think that it's only been, they've only been on this for like 70 years, I mean, at the rate of technology, you might think, oh, that's a long time. But when you're getting to something that's so hard to find patterns in things that fluctuate and incidents on Earth that you can do measurable readings.
Right.
So, and I do know that since on or around January 20th, the resonance was really high. I mean, it went way up. And again, that whether it's shock and awe or something else.
Personally, I don't see any correlation between that date and anything else. So,
of course,
I get you, but it's a very interesting thing, and I love the connection between human consciousness and the world. I wonder about animal and plant consciousness, how that blends in. And I also wonder about the magnetic pole shifts and, what does that do to this? Because, who knows when that's going to happen again, but it will happen, just like another ice age will happen. These things are just on the clock. Even, climate change has only put off the next ice age by a few centuries. Mm-hmm. It's like the Earth is much bigger than us. And we're just here trying to adapt and make our way. And I wonder, how these things interplay. They did say that the last magnetic pole shift, they kind of weakened the magnetic sphere, kind of might have driven a lot of early humans in caves and things for shelter, and kind of spurred on the cave painting, revolution that, kind of is some of our earliest record of human development. But we've been around a couple hundred thousand years, We've been studying this in the modern era for, 70 years?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that long. There's still a lot to learn.
No. I do want to note what Jackie has said. Drum beats are often called the Earth's heartbeat. And that would be the pulse. And being a natural state. Dr. Mike has just said the last time we had a pole shift was 600,000 years ago.
Yeah, I read an article where they were looking inside of a tree that, a very, very old, semi-fossilized. It was like 50 to 60,000 years ago. It was a scientific journal type article. Let me see if I can find it. But
yeah, Dr. Edward is saying, there's so much in the chat here, but let's just say he had a female cousin who decided to move from a rural area she was living in because she likes the energy from cities and crowds, what you were talking about. And of course, Audra mentioned that too. She likes crowds. I've known people who can't go to sleep without a TV on.
That's me.
It's that noise. And I myself, back in 1997, when I moved me and my kids from the city to a farm, I didn't leave the farm for 6 months because, the quiet and the peace was so addictive to me. I didn't even want to go to the store for shopping. But silence is quite deafening. And if you've ever been in absolute silence, you can hear the echoes in your ears.
Oh, yeah.
And it can be very unnerving if you're not accustomed to that stimulation. I've known people who can't cope with living in the country, and I always watch these trends. People in the city, they say, we want to go live in the country. We're tired of this. We've done a lot of camping. They get out there and go, And I always give them max 2 years. They'll be back. But you're either good with it or you're not. It's not, where you find a happy medium where you can step into both, to both worlds of that stimulation and that activity versus the absolute quiet. So, I don't know. I often said living in the bush that give me bears and cougars and wolves, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You stay alert, but it's the people who are scary.
Anyway. I completely agree with you in the sense that I've been watching videos of bears, and I definitely want a bear. I want a black bear. I feel like it wouldn't kill me as quickly as like a grizzly or a Kodiak or a polar bear. But,
My God, Michael.
We'll get there. I do have a bear. I have a pupper bear, as I call him. He's a foster of mine, actually, and I have an application in on him, so we're going to see how that goes. So might not have a pupper bear very much longer, but
We'll see. And now Wendy has said, silence can sound so loud in your ears. No, she lives with the little farm of critters, so she would know very well what that is and appreciate that until you get used to silence, it can be very unnerving.
Well, it can in a way, especially when you have a hurricane bearing down on you. But what I mentioned to you when power goes out and everything gets dead silent, and you have the house bunkered up, so it's I absolutely agree. It's, you know, a drumbeat in your ears. You know, you can hear that silence. Now, I did post a link in the chat. It's a 42,000-year-old tree that it says in the headline, you know, may have just revealed when Earth's next flip will happen, if you, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if it was really a pole reversal that is the reference that Dr. Mike had said from several hundred thousand years ago, but it said for an 800-year period, things were wonky, and I'll let you guys read the article if you like, or you can Google it, but it's very interesting, and I wouldn't do it justice, and I don't want to read an entire article on air, but
check it out,
yeah.
You know, this is why we're here. We'll keep learning new things,
mm-hmm.
expanding our discussions, you know, inspiring thought, and we have investigative minds, Michael.
Very true.
So, being curious. So, I thought it would be a great topic for tonight, just to, you know, kind of cover it, say, hey, maybe these are things we want to look at and, you know, tack on to a couple of pages that, you know, actually monitor the Schumann resonances, see where they're at when there's events, kind of check that out. Just as a footnote while we get ready, we're going to draw some cards mm-hmm. here right away, folks. But my science friend, Albert, many years ago, because we live in the northern hemisphere, he would say, you know, if you have a sink full of water and you pull the plug, the drain, it's going to go in a clockwise motion down. Of course, the reverse is true if you're in the southern hemisphere. But what he learned is, and we tested it, I experimented a lot with this, if you pull the plug and it starts circling counterclockwise, there's going to be an earthquake. And lo and behold, it's happened every time up here, that in the area, and again, within a few hundred miles, there's going to be an earthquake. So I found that really, that's an electromagnetic thing too, right? So mm-hmm. how are those magnetics affecting us? And how do we affect the magnetics? We don't know. I think they have to go hand in hand.
I think they do. And, you know, one thought comes to mind is that are we really going to affect the entire planet's magnetic system? But then again, I used to say the same thing about climate change, you know. So, I don't know. I could be way off base on this. My gut's just not taking me there. But Lord knows that, you know, I'm going to say this and, you know, it comes off a little more cynical than I intend. But I have a saying that most people are wrong about most things most of the time. I say it a lot, especially at work. You know, I work in an office and I deal with a lot of systems and a lot of different companies. And it doesn't mean big stuff. It just means like processes and minutia. And, you know, I think this thing is true. Like the whole, we only use 10% of our brain. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. It never has been.
What do we use?
What's that?
What do we use?
All of it. 100%, you know, even when our conscious, and it's because of a misunderstanding of a study. But we, you know, even when our conscious mind is not actively thinking about something, the other parts of our brain are actively running all kinds of different scenarios and operating, you know, so our brain is using all of its power, you know, maybe not, it has waxes and wanes of energy usage, just like anything else. But the 10% thing is a misnomer. There's a lot of stuff like that. So now I tell myself most people are wrong about most things most of the time. And I remind myself I am also most people. I could be wrong about a whole heck of a lot. So
funny.
Anyway.
All right, let's get on with some cards, shall we, Michael?
We shall.
Inner Oracle Self-Discovery Cards designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly. And I'm going to follow it up with a pairing of a tarot card and see what we have for some folks.
All right. Dr. Edward. For you, I have wild card number 2 and then some. One moment. Excuse me. And then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it. And by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Well, good. Kid, you're not two cards came out together, and that would be the Ten of Cups and the Five of Wands. So the Ten of Hearts, Five of Clubs with the end, then some. It's something to do with family, and I would say in this case, extra attention to family. And if there is something to do with family, a bit of a challenge or, you know, a concern in some way, certainly you rise to the challenge. But it just means that a little bit, in this case, a little bit of extra effort is being put into a situation, a dynamic of some kind, Edward. And it's all good, though.
Yeah. So, you know, I was reading that in an Oracle card, and I thought, you know, that sounds familiar, but I just wasn't 100%. Dodge Edward says, didn't I have that card lately? And Wendy, our card keeper, and to those that don't know, she tracks these cards looking for patterns. Oh. Had this card last week.
Wow.
Look at that.
And how many cards are there? You've got to know people. That's like pretty rare.
It's not more than a standard deck of cards.
Yep. Wow. Yeah. All right. We have Donna next.
And Donna, for you, I have number 23, Meaning and Purpose. Let's see. Number 23, Meaning and Purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Well, you know, the Four of Swords or the Four of Spades, you know, sometimes we can go into a time of we just don't know. we just can't figure it out, Donna. We thought we had an idea, but then we're uncertain. And sometimes it's a matter of just pulling back a little bit and letting it go and let it be revealed rather than focusing on it. So what this is saying, you know, if you're wondering, what is my meaning? What is my purpose? What is it I can do that I feel valued and I can contribute that's valuable? It just hasn't come to you entirely yet, or at least the manner in which it'll happen hasn't come to you yet. So you might have the idea, you just don't know how that's going to play out. So it's saying, chill out for a minute. You know, just chill out for a minute. It's going to come to you, but in its own time. It's like, you can be ready, but you know, it's got to synchronize with others in other energies too. So I want to say, hang in there. Just hang in there.
All right.
We have Kevin next.
For you, I have number 27, Gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is usually denial of a truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains. You know, I don't know that we pull that one often.
No, but I got, I don't know how it gets any bigger than this, but with the Ace of Diamonds. So this has to do, and I want to say literally, Kevin, with matters of money, finances, so gains. It's sometimes though you have to give up an old idea or an old way of doing something in order to gain greater value. And you know, we're always changing, right, Michael? We're always having to change our minds and say, you know, that worked yesterday, it doesn't work today.
Right.
That's just the way it goes. And so there's something here, Kevin, it's relinquishing something to gain in other ways. And, you know, that Ace of Pentacles, man, that has everything to do with prosperity, financial, you know, benefits. So it's just a little message to you. What is it that you can change up?
Uh-huh. I like it.
We got Audra.
Audra, so happy to have you. And I'm excited for yours because you get a fun one. You get wild card number one, Paradox.
Ooh.
a truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a new set of ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. Thus, new perspectives are discovered. A good one.
You know, as soon as you pulled that card, Michael, I thought about all the things Audra's been through in the last couple of years. And, you know, as for the grace of time and this program, we get to know everybody a little bit. And, you know, with all the stresses, but so many good things came from it, Audra. And it's just this, you know, life is that kind of a paradox in a way. But that being said, I pulled the star. Now, star to me is like water. It's like the flow of life. So where you're looking at things from all other points of view, different points of view, but you get to the same place. It's like a juxtaposition in a way. It's staying true to yourself here and being like water. So I want to say keep doing what you're doing and how your mind is working. And she wrote in the chat, contrarian, you say? I can do that. And so it's because that's what's brought you to where you are. So I think that's a really good affirmation.
I love it. That's good stuff.
Well, we have our card keeper, Wendy, next.
All right. And Wendy, for you, I have number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
I got the Hierophant, Wendy. You know, the Hierophant's routine conformity has to do with home, security, comforts, and the first thing that came to my mind is others who might disagree with your truth or give you suggestions for a different lifestyle or different approach to things, but sticking to your truth is your path. You know, I had this flash, Michael. Whenever I have a flash like this, it's like is something relevant here. In 97, when I picked up my three kids and moved to a farm, everybody thought I was crazy. But I was living my truth, you know. And I mean, for 20 years, I lived in the country. And I loved every minute of it, even when the kids were long and gone. That was my truth, and carrying on with my work and my business and so on. And I want to say that to Wendy also. Other people can make their comments, give you suggestions, but just stick to what you believe is right for you.
All right.
And there.
I like it.
Affirmation time. We have Damien next.
All right. I have for you, Damien, number 7, self-mastery. I don't know if I read that often. Let's see. Well, maybe I do. To know who you are and why you are who you are, self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, which gives inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. It is a good card, however often it's pulled.
Whoa, and I have the Magician in support of that. Whoa. There's a transformation in progress, Damien. You are changing. You are in a process of some kind. You know, the Magician is alchemy. You know, you can take crummy looking stuff and make it really great. And but that self mastery is tapping into something in yourself that you say, hey, I never thought of doing that before. I could do that. And maybe you have had the thought before, but no, that's not for me. But there's something here, an alchemy kind of in, again, I'm being redundant, but in progress, that I think you're being downloaded some new information, and I want to say you can do this. Absolutely.
I like it. All right.
So I want to say thanks for the feedback in the chat, everybody, especially Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
She said she's been thinking of doing something different lately, but wasn't so sure it would be supported by others. Just do what's right for you, Wendy.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, I believe that Jackie is our last card of the evening, and if we missed anybody, please
let
me know. And for you, I have a good one. Number one, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by the choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes, as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey, and move forward gracefully.
I got the Fool. I love that first card of the tarot. Beginnings, new adventures. You know, perfection, we're living the result of all of our thoughts and all of our actions, and that's perfect, even though sometimes we don't understand it. Like, well, it wasn't quite what I thought. But there's so many other layers of us, like, operating simultaneously that, you know, we're not totally conscious of. And in this case, Jackie, it's like you've arrived into some realization of yourself, some realization of yourself in the world, perhaps, in life, and you're about to embark on some new adventures. And, you know, I love that. It's, as the Viking runes would say, you know, leaping empty-handed into the void can be kind of scary at times, but it's all part of your journey, your life, and it's really, in my view, it's exciting. So I'm going to say, go forward.
I like it.
That's exciting, Michael.
It is. It absolutely is. So, all right. And like I said, I think that's everybody for tonight on the cards, but some good messages there, you know, and a couple of cards that I really loved reading too, because sometimes these messages, you know, they speak to me too, even as I'm reading them into others. It just has a certain wisdom about it. And I love hearing your intuitive kind of readings too.
But, well, thanks, Michael. I always tell people I have no idea what I'm talking about.
That's what I tell people, too. Yeah, this is why we get along so well.
And as soon as I stop worrying about it, I just shrug it off. It's, you know, whatever's there. I think the thing about interpreting messages, number one, if you're the least bit emotional or have any emotional attachments, you're going to be wrong. So that's that. If you try to look for an outcome that you would prefer, you're going to be wrong. It's to sit in a place of objectivity, and as much as we can do that, my late teacher Frank would say we are subjectively objective because we all see life through our own eyes. But I think when we do these readings, it's not just to help, you know, maybe give you a little brushstroke of info for the day. It's hopefully giving you some kind of guidance or new kind of take on how you might use your own intuition. You know, it's, oh, Dr. Mike had to throw it in the chat that Dark Wind Season 3 starts next month. I love that show. Sorry, Michael. I digress. Dr. Mike had to throw that in there. Out of nowhere, he changes the subject. Anyway, the whole point of intuition is to go with what you least expect, or don't try to presuppose anything. Because as soon as you do, you're going to make a mistake. I've been doing this for over 50 years, so I had to learn along the way what would be my preferred view versus, oh, this is what's happening, you know. But there's always a way to deliver things. I had a client not long ago, and I said, look, I've come across this a few times in my life. Your life is perfectly boring. You're just going to go through the days for the next 6 months, and it's like, live your life, stay calm, get organized, clean closets. There's no big event that I can see. But now if I look toward the end of the year or next year, there's more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing to have kind of a boring moment in life, you know.
Right.
And I could make stuff up, but that's not fair.
Well, you know? Yeah. It's like, I mean, there's already enough untruth that we exist with, both intentional and unintentional. Yeah. You know, I respect you for doing that. You know, for being true and you're not making anything up and just being true to yourself and whatever message there might be. But, you know,
There's always a way to ride out boring.
There is, you know? But boredom is one of the most dangerous things on earth for humanity. I have said very often, I'm not joking, boredom has led to more deaths than people realize. And it's not how you would think either. You know, there's always that old adage, you know, that, what is it? Idle hands are the devil's plaything. When people are bored, they want to get into trouble. And that doesn't just mean your common man. That also means kings and queens and emperors throughout history. That means people, when they get restless, they want to expand. They want action. They want to march off to war. They want to do something. They want to mess stuff up. Boredom can lead to horribly destructive things. And I think that when you have, you know, people who are bored and they don't have much challenge in life, and life's always going to be challenging, don't get me wrong here, but it can be numbing and almost unbearable. Sometimes people would prefer chaos and pain to monotony and boredom. It's really a strange thing. That's a tough ask sometimes for a lot of folk, I think. I think that's why I have like 20 dogs, is because they always keep things interesting.
So Dr. Kevin has answered. We have a couple of minutes here. Dr. Kevin's asked an interesting question to me. Have you ever come across a devastating reading? Yeah, I have. In fact, I'm not a fear monger. That's for sure. In fact, there is always a way to word things. There's always a way to... let me give you an example. You know, somebody wants to know if they're going to get married. Of course they're going to get married. Later they come back and say, why didn't you say I'd get a divorce? Well, that wasn't your question. But there are other ones of, I can foresee something catastrophic in their life or whatever. Now, I don't tell them that. Ever. That's not something somebody needs to know. If I detect something physical, I'll say, hey, you know, maybe you want to get a checkup. I detect low this or that, or, you know, just something there.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe you want to get your levels up. So I can infer something and imply without saying. Or is there going to be deaths in the family? I stopped predicting death a very long time ago.
Mm.
And I've said this before in the program, I know, in my day, we didn't have heart transplants or, you know, organ transplants and all the medication and science that there is now. People didn't live this long.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people who should be rightfully dead are still here.
Yeah.
You know, I have a friend of mine whose mother's had dementia for 8 years, and she said she's a medical miracle. I said, or a medical experiment. Because is she still alive? For God's sake, she should be dead by now. But with all the medications, you see.
Well.
She has a stepson who's in his 50s with cerebral palsy when he was born.
Mm.
He's completely quadriplegic, no teeth, but they keep him alive. Yeah, and why is that? So I knew that I had to, I can see points in time where there's a fork in the road. And making decisions or choices, whether you go to the doctor or you don't go to the doctor, you know, what I do when it comes to really harsh things is, in my family, especially raising kids, I would know if something bad was going to happen. But they trusted me enough, thankfully, begrudgingly at times, but say, no, my mom says I can't go out tonight. She had a flash. And they were okay with that because they learned over time that most of the time I was right. Like there was one time I told my daughter, you can't go to work yet. Well, I'm going to be late. I said, you have to wait 10 minutes. And sure enough, she waits 10 minutes. If she had gone when she would have normally gone, she would have been in that accident. There was like a four-car pileup.
This made me think about the burnt toast theory. You know, you burn the toast when you're trying to make breakfast one morning, so you're late for work, but that means you miss a horrible accident.
Mm. Yeah. Dr. Mike said it should all be based on the quality of life. And it's always a way to work with things. I mean, I think there's such a responsibility, and I've learned that very often people hang on every word. And they interpret stuff that I never said that way. Like, they say, oh, when you told me this, well, I have no recollection, number one. But, okay, that's how you interpreted it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I can do about that. My responsibility is to use words as well as I can, responsibly as I can, without imparting fear.
Mm. That's a tough one.
And it's, people got enough stuff in their life to worry about, you know.
Yeah.
Without adding to it, you know. It's,
I know.
You know, and the same thing, I do channel a lot, but I got two emails in the last week about if I'm a medium, if so-and-so's husband died or whatever, and they want to talk to him, mm-hmm. I will not promise that.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of folks out there that do it. I'm not going to promise that because I can't guarantee it. How can I, in my own conscience, say to you, oh, yeah, sure, you know, and then I don't feel them. I just go with what's there. So my way of doing it is to say, sometimes I can. There's always spirits talking to me in my head.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you all the time who that is. I can't tell you that, you know, your late husband is going to come through. Because I think that's deceiving people.
Yeah. But,
I'll do my best. You know, you either give it a go or not. So,
yeah.
And this is where I think it's, you know, I think there are some really good readers out there who are, let's say, better mediums, and I have no problem with that. I have my way of doing things, and that's that. So,
well, you've been keeping all those winning lottery tickets for yourself, which is really selfish of you, but,
isn't that stupid? I, you know, we don't often win those lottos. I wish.
Well, you make good points, though. You know, it is something to consider for people that are, you know, not just wanting to reach out to you or talk with you, but if they hear anybody talking about being a medium, that, you know, maybe it's, I don't know how to say this. I was going to say, and I don't know if it's right, and you may correct me, if somebody attests to too much accuracy and, oh, no, I can definitely get in touch with, you know, Uncle Bob that passed, you know, 10 years ago, no doubt about it. I mean, that's a red flag, you know? But maybe I'm wrong.
Who's
that
young guy out of Hollywood? I appreciate, because he actually has a couple of times saying, I'm sorry, I'm not getting a message from that one, but what is coming through is this.
Yeah.
And I actually appreciate that. And, you know, that, and they have measured his brain waves, by the way, while he's doing readings.
Huh.
Whoa, different parts of his brain are working, other parts don't light up at all. It's fascinating. So well, Damien has asked you, Michael, if you've ever been to a medium.
Yeah, you.
Cool.
No, but no, aside from you, no. No.
It's nope. What?
Aside from you, no.
Oh, okay. Don't worry.
You know,
well, that's
frankly,
all I've got for tonight, Michael. Yeah. An hour goes by so it fast does. Again. We appreciate it. And we may or may not have a guest next week.
Oh, yeah. You know, everything's up in the air. Life is unpredictable at times, but exciting. It's so very exciting. So you're going to have to tune in next week to find out, will I just ramble on in a monotonous tone without really going over anything substantial? Or are we going to have a great guest? So, or maybe Dr. Vicky's going to have some good stuff for us, too. But, you know, I'll just finish it off since you had asked if I've ever been to a medium. I was very skeptical, very, very skeptical of anything like that. For any number of reasons, you know, I wasn't totally closed off to it, but I got to say, Dr. Vicky, you know, my experiences with you have been the most interesting, and that kind of changed, brought me around on some things on this, so I'll just say that piece.
Thank you, Michael, for saying that. I aim to have a cult.
Well, we're going to get you there. Don't you worry. Don't you worry.
Your humor is running, rubbing off on me.
Well, that's a good thing. Everybody should have my style of humor because it's the best. But, you know, it hasn't been an hour. It has been a great discussion. I encourage you, you know, what is the mystery going to be? Are we going to have a guest? Are we not going to have a guest? You won't find out until you join us next week or until we send you that email. But, yeah, great discussion. Yeah, I've learned some stuff. I, you know, did a very light reading on this, knowing that I was going to kind of come into it a bit of a layman, but it's been a fascinating discussion. Appreciate the feedback from everybody in the chat. And can't wait to see everybody next week. But, Dr. Vicky, I know you got some final thoughts.
Well, actually, Damien beat me to it. He wrote in the chat. Don't let them push you around out there,
folks. Merch for that. Well, again, thank you, everybody. Can't wait to have you next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.